Okay, open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to do a little review tonight on a portion of scripture I've taught through many times. Thing about the Bible, though, is never out of date.
Amen.
In fact, it's ahead of time.
Amen.
And what we got going on in the world right now in the news is no shock to God. I've often said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He knows it from before it happens and the end from the beginning. And so if any of you did happen by accident to get off the soap operas and turn on the news, you know the world's still trying to blow up. Don't you know that? Amen. And with all the wars going, we needed one more. So it looked like that's trying to get kicked off. I don't know whether it's going to happen or not. But anyway, Book of Ezekiel wrote about what is being messed around with now with the nations of the world, with our nation and the other nations right now. Don't know what they're fooling with, I don't think. But the Bible does. It already predicted it a long time ahead. So if you go to Ezekiel 38, time would not allow. But a great Bible study would be to back up in these chapters in Ezekiel, get a running start at it. The predictions concerning Israel already fulfilled and yet to be fulfilled in these several chapters. Not only Israel, but the nations that are messing with Israel right now. And that includes us, includes America tonight. Didn't just start, been going on a good while. But be an interesting study for you to see that God wrote about stuff ahead of time. Amen. We'll start in chapter 38. Now you remember, you catch up to the times through these last several chapters. You go back to where God takes Ezekiel out to a valley and shows him some bones, dry bones, very dry bones. And he asks Ezekiel the question, asks the prophet, can these bones live? Ezekiel was very smart and told the Lord, thou knowest, remember? How many have ever heard the song, the foot bone's connected to the leg bone? I'd sing it for you, but my throat's not good tonight. Remember that song? Some of you enterprise and college students wanted to make some points with me as pastor. Get that song and do it. Do it right. You might not believe this, but just over here in this old building, they call it what? Clay Sink now or something down there. I don't know who owns it now, city, county, whatever. That's where we used to have assembly when I was in high school. And the first time I ever heard that song on Ezekiel's bones was they brought a Southern Gospel Quartet into our chapel service. We called it assembly, didn't call it a chapel then, but assembly. And they sang some gospel songs, and that was one of them. Of course, that was the easiest one to remember. We like that one, you know. But anyway, that's right out of the Bible. Those bones picture in Israel, and they're dead, and the world says they're dead, but they come back to life.
Amen.
And they come back to life, and now we're living in the time that they've been living for a good while. Not only did they come back to life, but the division between Israel and Judah shows a time when they're healed and they're one nation. We're in those times. Now, many verses we could pick out, words we could pick out, special words in these chapters. You pick up words like latter days, so it tells you what it is. It tells you some key words that Israel being brought back from the nations and so forth. So we know where we're reading. We know we're in the times that the prophet Ezekiel spoke about. Now remember, he spoke 2,500 years plus, probably a little more than 2,500 years ago. And most of us would be doing real good if we could predict one thing next week for sure. But here God's word predicts it 2,800 years ago, and yet we're seeing it fulfilled in the news. Now, what is the news right now? The news is that looks like we're about to go to war with Syria. And when you get to the big picture of this portion here, what you have predicted in this portion is a big war. It lists the nations, not all of them, but many of them will be involved, and some of the names are the same. Some of the names have been changed, but same location. Now, we've gotten what's called in politics unilateral support. Even the conservatives, I heard on Bill O'Reilly last night, and I disagree with him on it, but all we got to take the moral high ground. We got to, well, if you're going to take that, how about all the Christians being slaughtered in the world? See, I mean, let's get in balance on this thing. All of a sudden, somebody's used some nerve gas, and that's terrible. Possibly 300 been killed. They're not sure who used it. So it almost looks like we're looking for an excuse, don't it? Really, it's some unwise stuff. Pick it up with me here in chapter 38. Let's just read about 7 verses, get our setting a little bit. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog. Now you got capitals here. You got capital G, G-O, little g, and land of Magog. Really what it's saying is the prince and his land here. But now when you pick up the next statement, the chief prince of Meshach. Now the word chief here is translated from the Hebrew, and King James always got the best word and the right word. But the word chief carries with it from a root word, rosh, from which we get the word Russia. And prince of Meshach, this is a word that's behind the naming of the city of Moscow. And Tubal over there is Tobolsky, or another big city in Russia, when, what was his name, Powers, the pilot with the U-2 spy plane way back with Eisenhower's presidential days, when they shot him down, it was over that city of Tobolsky here. And so we got a location given to us here. And so the Lord names him here in verse 2, and he says, prophesy against him. So he's identifying a leadership here. Verse 3, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth in all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now, somebody says armies today not on horses. There are a lot more on horses than you think. And especially in mountainous regions where a lot of heavy equipment can't go and all that. But we're getting a line up here. And this statement, put hooks in thy jaws. Do you know what we got? We got leadership in the nations from Obama back through Bush and others and Cameron and England and all these leaders saying we don't want war, but they keep getting into war. Yeah. Why? Because God has said it was going to happen, and they put hooks in the jaws. How many of you understand that when you hook a fish, you take him where he don't want to go, but he goes anyhow? Anybody ever been fishing? All right, that's the way it works. And what you got today is you got circumstances building up, nations and so forth. They're being hooked, and the devil's doing the hooking. And he's pulling them right where the Lord said they'd be pulled in these latter days. Put hooks in thy jaws, and that's what's happening here. Now, names them in verse 5 again, other nations. Persia. Now we know that's modern day Iran. Are we having any trouble with Iran today? Oh, we are. Ethiopia, Libya. Have we had trouble with Libya? Still are having. That's where they killed the ambassador. And we still got troubles there. All these nations here. Gomer, we can debate exactly who that is. Togomar, we debate who that might be. Different scholars see it different ways, but all of that's in the location. The Middle East over there, in the north of Jerusalem, all of that area right in there. Verse 7, be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard. Now look at the word guard. Be thou a guard unto them. One nation is going to wind up pretty much being the big brother, the guard, the protector, the supplier of all these others that are lining up for this big war that is predicted here in this prophecy. Now, not only is it going to be a big war, as you read through these prophecies, it's going to be a nuclear war, big time. I was talking to Brother Joe Pasolo on the phone this afternoon, and he was talking about the freak weather they've had out there where they never have it before. And in the hot, dry of the summer, what should have been a light rainstorm turned into be a great big hailstorm. Do you ever watch the Weather Channel where it puts on a piece about wild weather? Now, they're not reaching back to 1900 for it. They're talking about in the last 2 or 3 years. They're talking about now. Some really, really phenomenal type strange stuff is happening with the weather and so forth. And the weather's gonna play a part in this war. Nuclear explosions upsets the heavens, so to speak, or the natural heavens, the atmosphere. I've told you this before, but after World War II, you know, they dropped the bomb on Japan and so forth, but after that, they kept testing some atomic bombs, and they did that in the Bikini Islands, just very small islands. They took some of our old junkyard ships for targets. Some of you military men might know about this. They took them out there, and they planted them in that area of those islands, and then they dropped bombs on them. And then they examined them to see what the damage was. And there was a lot of damage, but more damage was caused from big hailstones creating in the atmosphere and falling in that thick armor, plate armor of the ships, and damaging the ship because there were 50 pounds ice balls falling out of the sky. And that's what you read in this chapter here. You read about nuclear radiation, basically, having to cleanse the land. You read about the hailstones destroying the armies as they fall out of heaven. Now, somebody could have read this even 100 years ago, or even 75, and said, well, that's impossible. Oh, no, we're seeing it, we're experiencing it, it's on record, and that sort of stuff. I was watching the news channel, the Weather Channel the other night, and it was showing these great big hailstones, snowballs, falling out of the sky, the size of Florida grapefruit. And it showed one hitting a car windshield, and there was no windshield much left after it hit. Now, that's the phenomena you read about in this big war when it breaks loose here. And it is going to happen. So how you know? Because the Bible says so. Amen. And is this what's in the news now about to trigger it? It could. It may. It may not. They may negotiate and talk around, and one of them may blink, and they may back off a little while. But sooner or later, it's going to happen, just like is written here in these chapters. Now, there's some argument going on against starting the war. Now, they say, well, Syria's killing their own people. Yeah, I understand that. But they're not the only ones. And America cannot, we're trying to, but we cannot be the world's policeman. We cannot be even the world's savior. We have a saving message, but we're not giving that one out. No, sir, that's being choked. America, even within our own borders, is choking the gospel message. They're choking it with the military and everywhere else. But that is the answer, but we won't give them the answer. We're going to tell them how to help themselves and how to have a democracy. By the way, you can't have a democracy unless you have a basic majority group of people that's honest. You know, you couldn't have a bank if the majority of people were not honest. Now, you got the crooks and the deceivers and all that, and it's big time today. But the truth of the matter is, there has to be some trust and some honesty in people to make a democracy work. And we're trying to import something to a group of people who don't have the moral foundation based on the Word of God and the knowledge of a true God, and it's just not working. It's not working anywhere. Now, they're going to, you know, the threat right now is within a few days. They're trying to go before Congress, go before the United Nuts, the United Nations, all that junk. They're going to do all that to try to get authorized to attack Syria because nerve gas was used. Well, here's some questions. Number one, did they really use it? Number two, who did use it? I think it was used, but who did use it? And who is who over there? See, this is the other thing. We don't know who is over there. We know that Assad is the head of the Syrian government, has at least two factions fighting him, and he's a bad guy, but those folks fighting him are just as bad or worse. You got the Muslim Brotherhood. You got Al-Qaeda. Could I say something to you real quick? They're all our enemies. All our enemies. I don't know if you got that or not. Let me help you out. Got two young men sitting up here. They wouldn't be sitting there if they knew what I had in mind. Jesse, stand over here. David, come up here with me. Let's see if we can illustrate something. Now, you guys just obey me. Your college grades could depend on it. So just obey me here, amen. Dr. Lewis is sitting here too. Now, I want to show you what the answer is, what I would advise, what I'd advise President Obama, what I'd advise the whole crowd, the Prime Minister in England, everybody, what I'd advise them now. And it's so profound, I don't want you to miss it. Okay. I want you two guys to declare yourselves that you're my enemy. Just say yes, you're my enemy.
Yes, I'm your enemy.
Yeah, Bob, your enemy.
All right. Now, they're my enemy. Now, I want you to pretend to be fighting each other.
Yes.
All right, pretend. Don't get too rough. I don't know blood on this carpet. All right, just you can keep on kind of pretending. Just now watch me instead of them. Here's what we ought to do while they're fighting. That's what we ought to do. Watch me now. All right, fellas, thank you. I think they got the point, both of them. Don't break them glasses, that costs money. You get the point. That's what America ought to do. We ought to sit on the side and say, go at it, boys. You're all my enemy. Why do I want to get over here and accidentally get slugged, huh? How stupid can we get? You know what's kept Israel alive all these years? The enemy of Israel fighting each other. That's all that's kept them going. Yet America's not smart enough to just sit down and let them battle it out. We got to get in there. Now it's worse than that. We're not only going to get in there, we're going to pay the bills for the fight. When the emergency ambulance call, we get the bill for it. And we're going to, I've said this through years, if I was a poor third world country and couldn't make ends meet, I'd pick a war with America. I'd let them whip me real quick and then take care of me the rest of my life. That's what America does. It's just as dumb as it. And by the way, while we're doing it, we're broke. We got to borrow money from China to fight Syria. Folks, does that make any sense? That's what you're seeing in the news right now. If there's anybody sitting over here laughing, it's China. Well, there'll be some retaliation if we do go. Now, I understand. You say, preacher, you know, the news said we're just gonna lightly hit them. We just got four ships sitting off out there in the ocean, and we're just going to shoot some cruise missiles at them. I don't know about you, but I'd have better sense than to shoot a bear in the nose with a BB gun. Wouldn't you? That's what we're fixing to do. And when I say bear, that's an analogy. Russia is the bear. You understand that? And there's going to be some retaliation. Now, Iran is sitting over there. It's getting them off the hook. They've been supplying the materials for Syria, for Assad's government. Russia has been bringing it in. And you talk about falling in a trap. America's about to fall in a trap. But the trap's already been written about here in the book of Ezekiel. We already got what's going to happen and who's going to be involved and all of it. And the sad part is, once we do this thing, just shooting a few cruise missiles over, who are we going to shoot them at? What is our targets? It's just such a shot in the dark, really. So retaliation, guess what the devil's plan is? In fact, it was said today by one of the Iranians leaders, forget his name. He said, America, you better remember you've got a child over here close to us in the Middle East. They were talking about Israel. You support Israel, we're going to shoot Israel before we shoot you because they're closer to us. So in a retaliation, Iran and Syria, and Syria's right on the border. You read all through your Bible, Syria has been the age-old enemy of Israel. As you go through your Bible, you read that out. Sometime it'll be called Assyria and sometimes Syria, but it's there. I've been over there. Some of you folks have been over there. I've been up on the Golan Heights. We stayed in a kibbutz, that's a little farming community at the bottom of the Golan Heights. We stayed there that night because the Golan Heights was where the Syrians were shooting down, lobbing the shells on the kibbutz, on the farms, on the people. And the Israeli soldiers had to climb up the mountain, as it were, and take them out of those bunkers that they had poured the concrete and built in the ground. It was a horrible thing to see, because when we went in the bunkers, and we had a guide that fought in the war, Zelf was his name, and he fought in the war. Brother Scotty was with us on that trip. And you went in there, in the bunkers, and you saw where the Palestinian soldiers, Arabs, Syrians, in this case mostly Syrians, where this common soldier had a chain around his ankle, and he was chained to the concrete floor. He had to stay in there and fight to the death. He could not run. Now his leadership ran when the Israeli soldiers came in, but they had to die in there because they had to fight to the death. That's the cruelty and that's the mentality. It's a little different than American mentality, folks, big time. And I saw that. Now, that's an age-old enemy of Israel. And any excuse to hit Israel from Iran, from Syria, basically, as we read Ezekiel here, we're going to find out this coalition of nations come with one big target in mind, the unwalled villages of Israel. You read it here in the script. You pick up words like unwalled and without walls in verse 11 here of chapter 38. You pick up those words and you find that they engage in the war, and some bad things happen. Drop over to verse 22 of chapter 38. I didn't have time to expound it, of course. Verse 22, I will plead against him. Who's the him? The enemy here, that this coalition that God is warning here, this Gog and Magog and all the crowd that goes with him. He said, I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Where's that going to fall? It's going to fall on this army moving on the mountains of Israel. Do you understand when the army moves, it's pretty much under tent, it's under canvas. Hailstones alone will destroy an army with no more protection than that. You say fire out of heaven? Oh yeah, it happened a lot of times in the Bible and even some times since. Now, there's some records of that. But a lot of things fall out of the heavens that we haven't been able to explain yet. How many of you, I'm not nuts now, I've saw this with my own eyes more than one time, how many of you have ever seen it rain frogs? Oh, you poor city folks, you just don't know. Rain frogs out of a thundercloud. I won't go with you one better. Have you ever seen it rain fish? That's rare. You're looking at me in unbelief, just unbelief all over this auditorium. But I'm talking to you facts. They've made pictures of it, documentaries of it. And other things that are amazing. If you won't believe the fish and the frogs, no need of me telling you nothing else, amen? But a lot of stuff. So there's a lot of mystery. Now, they say, but we know what happened. It picked the frogs and the fish up out of the ocean. Frogs don't do too good in salt water. And it's amazing to me, they say, well, it picked it up as a little fish seed and it brought it up in the clouds and it matured. That's why a 5-pound bass fell on your head. I just don't believe that. There's a little more to it than that. There's something going on that we don't know about. And God's in charge of the heavens up there, amen? Now, he's predicting here that he's gonna destroy this enemy, this Gog and Magog that moves against Israel. Now, if we move now, if we pull the trigger now, we could be setting off this prophecy that we're reading here in Ezekiel. I don't know for sure, and could be. It's a big war. These nations are named. The main goal, no matter what they say, is ultimately going to wind up hitting Israel. Now, we're fixed to intervene over there between enemies fighting each other. You just don't get any dumber than that. Just can't. We ought to stay out of it, folks. We shouldn't be wasting our tax money. We are a broke nation. What happened to Rome? Rome got taken over finally by the barbarians, but they died from the inside. And one of the things that killed them was they were involved spending their money in foreign wars. Now you list all the reasons of the fall of the Roman Empire, and there's a bunch of them, but one of them was they were spread thin. Where in the world are we at today? What a mess. We can't even protect our ambassador in Benghazi. Amazing. We just need another war so bad. It is so silly. It is so wrong, and it is so unbiblical. And what's happened in America, we lost touch with the Bible. We lost touch with its advice, with its moral foundation. It's just too bad that we've done that. Back in 1948, when Israel had their war for independence and raised their flag for the first time on May 14th, 1948. The president of America at that time was Harry Truman. And he claimed to be a Baptist. Some said he was a cursing Baptist, said he used bad words. Don't listen close, but you may have run across one or two of them at different times. Harry Truman, though, did believe the Bible was the Word of God. And when it come time, Israel's war in 1948, Harry Truman, I have a copy somewhere in my archives, may never see it again, I'm not very well organized, but I have a copy of a letter that Harry Truman wrote to J. Frank Norris, who was a fundamental Baptist preacher out in Texas. He was kind of a flamboyant guy. They called him the Texas Cyclone. He really got the job done for God. And Harry Truman wrote him a letter and said, what does the Bible say about Israel? Should I recognize them as a nation or not? And J. Frank Norris wrote him back and says, by all means, recognize them quickly. So America went on record of recognizing Israel as a nation. The Arabs still try not to do that. The Vatican didn't do it till just a few years ago. But because America did, we've been Israel's friend, and we've sold them short in these last few years, no doubt about it, every kind of way. But God may have preserved us just because. Genesis chapter 12, God said, thou bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you, speaking of Abraham's seed. So anyway, we have lost our, talk about moral commandment to go over there and straighten them out. We in a bad mess over here right now in every kind of way, morally, with the gay thing and the abortion and the immorality and all that's going on. Now, it is amazing how we're going to, and we have, we've transported our corruption worldwide more than we have our morality too much of the time. We ought to stay out of it, like I just illustrated to you, because if it brought Rome down, it can bring us down. And you and I know the answer's in God's book. It's not in Washington, D.C. Right. By the way, do you understand that Washington, D.C. did not have a recession when the rest of us did? The housing market didn't go down, not in Washington, D.C. Nobody got a cut in their pay. We ought to wake up one of these days. I get off of that. Well, we ask the question, why would we do it? We have nothing to gain. And every time we've gone into a nation to so-called help them, they wind up hating us more. That's the way it's worked. It'll work this way again. And you say, well, how do I pray about it? Well, wonderful thing would be to pray that our nation could get back to God. It don't hurt to pray. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a lot of hope of that. I think we may have crossed the point of no return. In the meantime, what do? We keep on serving God. We keep on doing what we can do as long as we can do it and hope the Lord sounds a trumpet.
Amen.
I don't want to see our soldier boys sent over there again to be in this mess that I read about right here. I don't. And nothing for us to gain. By the way, we can't plead self-defense. Now, when they hit the towers on 9/11, we had a right to go bloody their nose. And we did. The mistake we made was not going over and blooding their nose. The mistake we made was taking them to the emergency room and trying to get them healed up. That's the mistake we made, paying that bill. When President Bush on the ship declared we've won the war, fine, bring the boys home. Let them fend for themselves the rest of the way over there. Instead, we started putting the tax money in to rebuild them and push a democracy on them they didn't even want, didn't understand, don't know how. And we've been doing that ever since. Nothing smart about it. Nothing to gain. Go make them hate us worse. It's certainly not self-defense in any kind of way in this case. So then, preacher, why are they doing all this dumb stuff? I think you know. The world is putting the Antichrist kingdom together. That's what's going to come out of this thing. And he'll be in control for a while. It'll be a short while, according to the Bible. But he'll be in control. And when you can't understand this stuff, just understand that's their goal. The big world government view is what's coming in. We've come to a place in America right now you can't hardly dare exercise your right of free speech anymore. We've got words. We have got politically correctness that's killing us in America. Everywhere you look right now. And the crowd that is trying to bring this one world government in has decided, see, we have gone electronically. We have gone with your Twitter and your Facebook and your magic phone and all this pad stuff that I don't understand. And personally, I said when it come in, it was of the Antichrist, and I still say it is. And it's bringing his kingdom together so fast. Because of it, though, our views now are better known than they were before. The views of Landmark Baptist Church has gone more worldwide than you would ever believe. I mean, we've been talked about in some of those very countries I was talking about tonight. One of our college students that came from over there, when he was going back on summer vacation, going back home, the guards told him at the border, "We know where you've been. And you tell Mickey Carter we're not going to have any of his soul winning business over here." I said, "Did they use my name?" He said, "Yes." Now, that's the information highway now. It's as close as a cell phone. Amazing stuff. But because of that, now the backlash, even in our leadership, against fundamental, Bible-believing, patriotic people in America has grown. Our military right now has been subjected to politically correct rules beyond your imagination. Many chaplains cannot use the name of Jesus. The Department of Defense giving instructions, and some of you folks gave me some information off of it. The Department of Defense has put out guidelines to recognize who the terrorist in America could be. And guess who they could be? They could be me and you. Patriotic, Bible believing, critical of government, and I am. And that makes me a prospect to be a terrorist. This is really wild. And many of you have seen the papers I'm talking about. There's a bunch of them laying on my desk. Several of you have given them to me. That sort of thing. So what am I saying to you though tonight is what's been happening has already been written, and it is amazing in the detail that it's being fulfilled and will be fulfilled. And if this, we're playing around with dynamite over there right now, we could see the biggest world war yet created for this thing. The explosion could take place. You see, it only takes one match to set off a big stick of dynamite. It only takes one squeeze of a trigger to fire a big gun. And so are we playing with a trigger? Are we playing with matches? All I can say on the positive side is, bless God, I'm not surprised. I've said it was coming. It is coming. If this is it, fine. I know where I'm going.
Amen.
And I'm okay with it.
Amen.
If we're going to buy some more time, I'm okay with that. I'd like to win everybody I can until it does happen.
Amen.
But will it happen? It will, because God said so.
Amen.
All right. That was your